here we go, boys.
Go.
Ooh, I love that sound. This is a good one.
Might as well. Ready to go?
Yeah, we might as well just insult the entire brewery and state. Let's do it.
Have you been recording?
I am now.
All right. Well, welcome to Waterfowl Wednesday edition of the Full Scale Outdoor Podcast. It's Nick Johnson and Dale Luganville, brought to you by Boss Ammunition.
Definitely not brought to you by New Glarus.
Well, you were just telling me that you're drinking some overrated beer.
I am, but I do want to say that it's not a bad beer. It's very easy drinking, but it's just not it's not worth only being able to get it in Wisconsin. Like, great job marketing team of New Glarus for convincing people, making some, like, people go to Wisconsin like, hey, bring me back some Spotted Cow. Okay, why? So, just go get some Coors Light. It's the same thing.
I guess, speaking of Coors, my dad told me that when he was growing up, you could only get Coors in Colorado. So him and his college buddies or whatever took a road trip to Colorado, and they came back with cases of Coors. And they were like fucking heroes, you know, like, we're having Coors. Like, it was, you know, something special. Well, I'm sure it's the same Coors as it is today back then, you know.
Yeah, so everybody. What you're saying is that New Glarus not only stole the recipe for Coors, they stole their marketing plan as well. Well done.
No, I'm
well
just, done. I'm just, the scarcity creates an overvaluation of the quality of the product.
Correct. And again, I want to state, I'm drinking it right now. It's a good beer. It's just not a great beer. It's just, I will never crave a Spotted Cow to the point where I'm like, shit, I got to get to Wisconsin so I can buy some more Spotted Cow. This is never going to happen.
Dude, speaking of, like, exclusively available beers, I was at Stuttgart, Arkansas last weekend, and I was at the Rich and Tone Flying Duck Tap Room, which was super, super cool. I didn't drink any beer while I was there.
Well, I don't know how we pulled this off, but I feel like we need to do a flight companion down there.
That would be sweet, actually, because I went to World Duck Line Contest, competed last Saturday, and on Friday night, there is a dinner, like, for all the people who qualified plus one guest, and so I went there, and I had a couple of Michelob Ultras, and they're sampling some tequila as well. I can't remember the brand.
Really?
So I had one shot of tequila, and I had a couple Coors Lights. And if you've ever been in Stuttgart, you know that's where you stop. Like, that place is crawling with cops. Like, I've been through several roadblock checkpoints, like, in Stuttgart.
Jeez.
or just outside of Stuttgart. You do not fucking get drunk there. You know, like, that is not the town to be drinking and driving around. So I had, like, two Michelob Ultras and one of those shots of tequilas, and I let that settle in with my dinner. Then we went to that the Rich and Tone shop for, they were having like a Yeti party or something over there, some sort of event that was pretty cool. And I didn't get to try any of the beers because I was like, man, I'm not gonna have any more alcohol tonight. Yeah, but now I'm like, I wish I wouldn't have had Michelob Ultras, and I would have had some of that, Flying Duck Taproom stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Man, that would be awesome.
Whatever.
Yeah, well, like I said, I don't know how we're going to plan that, but that'd be fun.
Well,
maybe I have to follow you down there some year for one of these competitions. I had no idea you were going down there. You didn't even mention it on the last Waterfowl Wednesday. Like,
well, the last Waterfowl Wednesday was 2 weeks ago because what happened last?
Oh, speaking of beer.
Yeah, no, I was going to do it on Tuesday. I was just going to do a solo one from the blind. And there was like some road noise, and I just didn't feel like it. And when was it? That was Wednesday. And I was like, let's just do it when I get home. And then you responded like an hour later to my text, just said, I'm drunk.
Yeah, because I think you're like, okay, I'm home now and you're ready. I'm like, yeah, well, I'm drunk now, so.
And you had to be so drunk that you could not complete a podcast.
Honestly, I wasn't that shaded. It was just or faded, I think the term is. I think I messed up my young hip terms. I wasn't that faded. I was just, at that point, I had lost all initiative to do anything but continue to drink beer.
I hear you.
So, yeah, I had initiative, and then I drank it. So, that's what happened there. So, sorry you guys didn't get one. But it is what it is.
It would have been you just all sloppy drunk anyways.
Yeah, so what happened down in Stuttgart?
Stuttgart? Well, I won the World Duck Calling Championships. Do not Google it.
I was like, wait a minute. That can't be right. Not that it couldn't be right. I was like, I feel like I would have seen a post saying such, and I didn't.
I did win the World Duck Calling Championships. I took first place, and let's move on.
Well, congratulations.
Well, thank you. Thank you. What happened? I fucked up.
All you want is three clean, what do you call it?
Routines. Three clean, yeah. You want three clean routines, of which I had zero.
You had zero clean routines.
Yeah, I had a little mistake in my first round, and I was like, well, I'm done. And then I made the cut. Which is interesting because I've blown my first round clean and not made the cut. So must have been pretty good, like a minus one or something on top of an otherwise decent routine, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I made it through, and then I did the exact same mistake a second time, and I got the exact same score, actually, out of the judges, which was a 4-4-4, like three fours, like a total of a 12 for the round, and got cut. So, you know, when I qualified for Worlds, I went to I won the Great Lakes Regional in Bay City, Michigan. And all practicing before that contest, I was like, I'm going to win. Like, holy shit, I feel like 100% I'm going to win this contest. My routines are just fucking fire. And the whole time practicing for Worlds, I was like, I'm going to lose. Like, I managed to get some decent routines out, but I was like, dude, it's not fucking there. Like, I've been doing this long enough to know when I should be cocky and maybe when I shouldn't be, because I've been cocky at the wrong times and not cocky at, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I was like, this isn't going to go well, and I'm just going to have as much fun as I possibly can. And I just, from going to the airport to picking up the rental car to going into Stuttgart to hanging out with Trevor Austin and Zach Rutledge and all my buddies I've met throughout the years, duck calling, it really was a fun time, dude. Stuttgart, Arkansas is such a cool fucking place in the world. The whole Mississippi alluvial valley, like, is completely fucking filled up with birds. And
oh,
I mean,
yeah, I've been seeing a shit ton of posts from down there. Like, they're having a good year, it seems.
Yeah, I mean, not just ducks and but mostly Arctic geese, dude, like snow geese and speckle belly geese. It's just awe-inspiring, just especially around the town of Stuttgart, which is kind of, you know, right in the dead heart of the Mississippi alluvial valley. But dude, you'll see like massive wads of like blackbirds and other types of birds,
yeah,
and raptors, and like, it's just bird world down there. It's fucking insane. You cannot step outside at night and not hear snow geese and speckle belly geese flying over you.
That's,
it's 100% like bird traffic all the time. It's really fun just to drive around out in those rice flats and just look at birds. I mean, it kicks ass.
There's got to be some ducks down there, because Carter was down there. I was watching his snaps a week or so ago, whatever it was. And there, like, he was in the timber, and it was just like, I was blown away by how many ducks are flying over. I was like, holy crap, this is madness.
Talking about Carter Deny?
Deny, yeah.
I've been calling him Carter Deneau for years. But...
I know. I think I – well, I don't know if I've ever said that out loud, but in my mind, that's how I pronounced it too. And when I met him, yeah. I don't know that he told – I don't know that he said it. So I don't know that – like, if I did, he was too nice to correct me. So
right.
So anyways, yeah, Carter Deneau was down there, and yeah, his snaps are just like crazy how many ducks there were. And got me thinking like – what the hell is Tony Vandemore doing? Did he not flood his field this year? How come all the ducks didn't stop Missouri this year?
You know, probably just doesn't have enough ice eaters.
Must be it. That's sarcasm, people, in case you're not picking up on that.
I sold my ice eater.
Yeah, I remember you saying that.
I do not own one anymore. I don't know if I've talked about that on the podcast, but I really could not find a... It kept putting me into positions to have shitty hunts because I'd be like, we should put an ice eater out there. And at the end of the day, we really shouldn't have. And what a fucking waste of time. You know, and it's just...
So I've had this big pump that I was going to like turn into an ice eater. And our issue was we could never find a place to use it because you can't use it on public water. So it's like we just never could find like or get permission at least on a pond that was good enough to warrant having one in it. You know, it's not like you can just put one in a pond randomly. Like, it has to still be in a good area where there's gonna be some birds around.
So dude, don't ask me. I have no idea how to fucking effectively use one. Sell it.
So, well, I got it for free anyway, so whatever, I'll keep it just in case. It takes up very little space. It's really not a big deal.
Well, I figured the season is winding down. The duck season here is over. It ended last Tuesday. Goose season's got, shit, less than 3 weeks left here in my area.
Not 3 weeks. That's almost a month. You know, there's still plenty of time.
It is, but I mean, what, for the guys out there that don't want to hang it up yet, I figured maybe we could talk about, like, what's a guy...
What are your options?
Yeah, what is the guy who still wants more? What's a guy to do?
Wisconsin, South Zone.
The South Zone of Wisconsin, I think, is an interesting thing because for honkers, at least, they do have a holiday hunt.
Mm.
I will look it up.
Okay, and while you're looking up, you got Iowa. I know their season goes a little bit later than we do.
They go way later in Iowa, and that's a good option. That's a really good option.
There's a crap ton of birds around the Des Moines area.
Oh, yeah. And that's not a far drive for us northerly dudes to get to.
No, it's really not. It's funny. You know, it's a weird, like, brain dynamic, mental gymnastics thing. Like, at least I can only speak for myself. But anytime I've thought about going down to Iowa, I'm like, oh, man, that's like 5 hours. Yet... does anybody mention time of driving? When, like, you want to go hunt birds in North Dakota? Nope. Where do you want to go? Minot. It's like nine hours away. You know what I mean? It's like nobody even mentions, like, they don't even think of it. They don't even blink at it. But for some reason, like, Des Moines, 5 hours, what? And I don't know if it's just because it's south. Like, in our mind, we have going north. You know, you put on miles going north to do stuff. Or west. But nobody puts on miles to go south. That's just stupid. But, well, yeah, it's, I mean, really now not that far.
There is the Missouri River Zone in North Dakota. That can be really good late season, like really, really good.
Yes, it can be. I've seen some really good piles come out there. And you want to talk about no pressure. Like, hardly anybody goes out there.
There is quite a bit of pressure. But
really?
It's one of those areas, too, where I feel like you can just run traffic with 50 decoys. If you sit out there, you're going to fucking shoot them. You know, you're going to get your birds.
If you can endure 40 below zero.
Right. That's the thing. It's so fucking cold. But a lot of guys have boats. Like, where would you go with a boat? Like, probably along the Mississippi River somewhere.
Well, you got the Missouri.
Missouri River.
Between South Dakota and Nebraska. I've done that hunt before. It was like first week of December. We went down to... of course, you still got honkers here. You don't have to go down there. But if you want to shoot ducks, you can. Yeah, we went down there. That was a fun hunt. We talked about doing it again. I've never been down there again. That was a one and done. There's got to be some decent duck hunting, you would think, along the rivers in Iowa, too. You know, not just honkers. Maybe not.
Hire a guide in Stuttgart, Arkansas would probably be a good deal, too.
That would be probably your best bet. There's a lot of birds down there, for sure. And one thing I've been preaching ever since I guided snow geese down there, I'm like, you know, everybody waits for that spring conservation order, right? Screw that. Go the last week of January.
To Arkansas?
Yes. When nobody's there, everything is open. You can shoot everything, including your snow geese, which you're, I don't know what the limit is, 50, 20, whatever it is. Enough. But nobody travels down there for that. They wait for that spring conservation order when they can only shoot light geese because there's no limit. Well, who the hell cares? Like,
right.
Why not hunt a week earlier, and if a speck comes into your spread, you get to shoot it. Or you see a field over there covered in mallards and pintails, we'll set up in there tomorrow. You know, it's like, shit.
If possible, like, straddle your trip. So like, maybe 2 days, you can do the last 2 days of duck season, because spring snow goose starts the day after duck season ends.
Right, exactly. Yeah, so that would be a perfect way to do it. You know, if you're going down there for 4 days, hunt 2 days during the duck season. And
duck
then
season.
Knock yourself out. You know, chasing the white devil with an unlimited limit or whatever. But that was my takeaway from it. I'm like, that's the move. And there isn't 8,000 trucks running around. You know, by that time, it seems like the local boys that they've done, you know, unless they're an actual outfitter, and even they've slowed down because I think people in their mind, like, oh, it's the end of the season. I got my duck hunting in, you know.
Right.
Like, that week, there was it wasn't busy, yet there was birds everywhere, and nobody really chasing them. And then all of a sudden that calendar turned over, and here comes a bunch of Minnesota plates. You know, like, you guys are a week late, man. You could have. And then we struggled. And that year, that was the year that even in Arkansas, if you got double digits, you were doing good. That was that super tough year. I think it was a bad juvie hatch, whatever. Like, it was bad. It was a super tough year. And so it's like, why are you waiting for no limit? Like, you're not even going to shoot 50. So I don't even know why you're worried about no limit. Meanwhile,
I think we're going to see some big piles coming out of Arkansas. I've already seen some big piles from this fall, which is usually a pretty good heads up that there's going to be some massive piles in the spring. But I think we're going to see some massive piles this year with the juvie hatch.
I think so, too. It must have been good because just North Dakota, South Dakota posts I've been seeing, there, people have been putting up some big numbers.
Like, I saw a 550.
Yeah, I think I saw some sick. I think I saw a 600 maybe even a 7 somewhere.
Wow.
Yeah, that's just.
That's insane.
It's insane, and I honestly don't want any part of it. the amount of cleaning involved. I mean, just the amount of, like, picking birds up, like, the setting the picture up sounds like work. Like, that's so many birds. Oh, my gosh.
What about, like, me and you shot 100?
That's a lot.
Yeah, it would be a lot, but it's just a two-man 100-bird shoot.
I would do it.
That'd be dope. That would be enough.
That would be super dope because that two-person 100-bird shoot, that is, like, literal nonstop action. Also you and I, like, Annie Oakley-ing everything. Like we're not missing. I'm serious, because that's, like, what it takes. You know, like, in the fall, you've only got your three shots, right? So unless you're throwing some doubles and incidental triples in there, let's just say you're shooting one apiece, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you and I shoot six birds a volley, right? 10 volleys only gets us to 60.
That's
60
each.
For easy math, we'll say if we got to 120, that means we shot into 20 flocks of birds where both of us went 3 for 3. That's
true.
But that's
the limit's
ridiculous.
Limit's only 50 though in the fall. Yeah.
Okay. Well, fine. So we miss a couple times, or we stop shooting early. Or whatever.
But some guys out there. There are some guys that have done, like, some 11 man limits type stuff, or what is that, like 550? And we just talked about that. I've even heard of, like, some 1100, like some 20 man limits. I think that happened in, like, 2017, I think, maybe, or 2018. That happened that fall.
That's pretty crazy. But when you have that many guys, though, too, you know, you are getting a bunch of scratch birds, and there's times where you're shooting, somebody missed, but somebody shot, you know, extra or whatever, or, you know, overspray or whatever. Like, it's, you have more guns, it's easier to put more, you know, really capitalize on a tight flock of geese that are in close, you know.
True, true, true.
Two guns, but there's just not, there's not much going for you.
So how about you? Overspray. What are you thinking about for waterfowl? Are you done for the season?
Man, I'm pretty much done. You know, I'm up here in northern Minnesota, out, you know, now, you know, I'm a fisherman, so ice fishing season is pretty much in full swing up here, so I'll be doing that. Yeah, so my waterfowling is pretty much effectively over for till spring.
Are you doing spring snows then, guiding again?
I don't think I'll be guiding.
Why not?
Well, with the new job, I don't know that I'll be able to. Now, if I can swing it, which it's not outside of the realm of possibilities, but I would have to have things set up pretty well so that I don't have to be there. I would probably still have to do some work remotely and guide at the same time. I don't know if it's possible. I'm toying with the idea. Well, as we get closer, I'll know more if that's going to be a realistic option or not. That would be pretty badass if I could pull that off.
Quit your job, dude.
Just quit your job for 1 month. For 1 month of very low pay, just quit your job.
Yeah, that's right. You know, though, it'd almost be
worth it.
You're not buying any gas. You're not buying any food. It adds up.
right. If you can promise me it won't be windy every freaking single day like it was last year, I might be tempted. But honest to God, last spring broke me. Oh, it was bad.
Dude, we just had a 7-inch snowstorm here today, and I did not hunt in it. That's depressing.
Why not?
I didn't have a spot, man, like a good spot. The last 2 days, I got home from World Duck on Sunday. I get home from World Duck. And I got one spot on my brain. It's the spot I asked the Friday before deer season. It had about 100 honkers in it. And the guy, I left his wife my phone number, and he called me. And he was like, well, I couldn't believe he called me in the first place. But he said, you can hunt on my property. That'd be no problem, but not during deer season. I was like, okay. So over the last 2 weeks of deer season, I would be out scouting around, and I'd drive past it, and it kept building and building and building. Like, there was this time where it was like 1,000 fucking geese out there, maybe more. I was like, Jesus Christ, like chomping at the bit for this deer season to end. So then I hunted Tuesday. I hunted Wednesday of last week. Thursday, I did Thanksgiving. Friday, I flew to Stuttgart. Saturday, Sunday, I got home on Sunday. First place I went, drove out to that field, just waited for geese to fly into it. Nothing. It's like, oh, motherfucker. And so then Sunday night, I knew the snowstorm's coming. And I was like, I need a spot to get under some birds for Tuesday. And wasted my whole fucking first night of scouting just around that field that nothing showed up at. And the birds flew very late as well. So once I tried to collect my things and scatter around, I couldn't find anything. And then yesterday, same thing. The birds seemed to have blown out when the snow melted. You know, instead of being more concentrated,
yeah,
they're just
sure
kind of all over the place, and maybe even lost some birds because I did notice there was more ice on the landscape as well. So ended up not hunting. We'll see what our birds are like. In the coming days, I'll be back out scouting, trying to figure out where to go, what to do.
Isn't that kind of the nice thing about a snowstorm, though, is you don't really need to be on an X, I feel, because you do still need to have geese in the area, however.
Good traffic line. I had one spot in mind of hitting a frozen public pond and just setting the spread up on it, some V-boards, but in the end, I slept in.
Well, you know, I can't say I haven't done the same thing this fall. There's been a few times here where it's been really cold. The lake looked prime for, you know, a diver hunt, and I just couldn't get my carcass out of bed. It's rock and solo can be tough sometimes because, you know, if you got a buddy, you know, you got to go. You know, you have a responsibility. You said you're going, so you got to go. You can't just sit there in your bed and keep hitting snooze. When you're by yourself, it's pretty easy to slap that snooze a little one too many times.
And also, hunting a frozen pond in a blizzard is like, I have done it before, and I have been successful, but most of those birds are going to fields.
Right, yeah. So. That'd be a good time for an ice eater.
Nah, you're still not going to convince me.
You should buy one. I have one for sale.
You do, yeah. I thought Joe has one up in Fergus. I don't know how. I was wondering how that was working out.
Yeah, you know what? Well, I suppose it's midweek, but oddly enough, Snapchat was kind of quiet. I did see a couple people do put a hurting on them today, but I don't know how many people are actually out hunting.
Right. Midweek.
On a random Tuesday. After, a holiday
right
weekend.
Right after the holiday weekend. Yeah.
Yeah. And I didn't, because I was down in the cities this past weekend for the holidays, and apparently nobody found anything. I was kind of waiting for someone to say, hey, you want to hunt Sunday morning? Or Saturday morning.
What's wrong with your scouting vehicle? You can't put some miles on?
No. I didn't. My schedule did not allow. I was being a good partner.
Well, next week is the 100th episode, if you're not too drunk to record it, huh?
Yeah, that'll be next week. I'm actually down in the cities again this weekend, but I'm busy all day at the St. Paul Ice Fishing Show. So,
okay.
But, I mean, you could plan something in person Saturday night or something.
Yeah, that might work.
Yeah, that'd be kind of fun.
It would be.
Figure something out. See who else. We should try to grab another person or two. Just have a shit show. Who else?
Yeah, dude. You know what's been working really good for me while about hunting? Not calling lately.
Really?
Not calling at all.
Hmm.
Like, not at all. Just maybe once, like, cluck to get them to look at me, and that's it. And they'll even, like, spin over the top of me and then kind of look like they're flying away, where you get that really urgent desire to call at them, and I don't. And then they would bank and come into my decoys.
Well, what made you start trying that? The calling wasn't working?
Just the birds were so leery of hides.
Mm.
So leery of hides. And, since we got snow and since it melted, like, I've been out hunting a whole bunch and they just are fucking cocksuckers, dude. Like, I've got snow covers for, layout blinds and man, I keep them clean. I put them back in their little baggie after every single hunt. I don't leave them on the blinds. I'm very cautious. I only use the cleanest ones I have for how many people I have. And they just don't work very good. Like, and the more I can possibly keep those eyes away from those snow covered layout blinds, the better I seem to do.
Try to flag.
Yeah, that would work.
So
I kid. There's been a couple hunts lately where my hide did work. I had one hunt where my hide worked fucking excellent. And one hunt where my hide worked pretty good. And it was both when I took the snow covers and one of them I put my back up against a hay bale. And the other one I dug the blinds down next to in a snow drift next to a center pivot.
Mm. That makes sense.
But I do deal with the problems associated with not being exactly where the geese are. Like, I'm dealing with birds that are landing out in the middle of fields. And then you start to ask yourself, do I need to go kick those out or do I not? Because there's a certain point when birds land in the middle of field where they attract a lot more birds to your field.
Sure.
So yes, some of them land with the birds in the middle, but some of them land in my decoys.
Right. You know, usually when people see that happening, they go chase them out.
Right. And here's one thing I'm not convinced chasing geese out is the best move every time. I have seen it be the best move to do that. And I've also seen it not be the best move. I'm not an immediate, like, jump out of the blind and chase him out of the field type of guy. Not immediate. But I'm not saying that technique is perfect, but it deserves some thought, like, when it happens. Like, do you do it or do you not do it?
Right.
It
seems like as waterfowl hunters, we're always looking for a reason why it's not working, as if there's some magic set of ingredients, you know, a recipe for success. You know, kind of like the not calling thing. I know I've been in fields before and the geese don't seem to be responding to calls, and then you're like, maybe we should just not call at them, and then you try it once and it doesn't work, and then you go back to screaming at them, and then it's like I said, that temptation to call. And, you know, half the time you say you're all in agreement, we're not going to call, somebody calls. I mean, it's just they throw in a clock, or they do you know, I mean, like, they just can't resist. Especially like I said, when they start flying away, you're like, well, they were flying away. Well, you never know. I mean, how many times have you seen that flock away down wind and all of a sudden they turn back around and come in? I definitely think, and that might be something to keep in the back of your head, like when you've got stale birds and they're pressured and they're, you know, they've seen every spread and they've heard every call. That might be the move. As I know, we've talked about this before. You go, you set up your all-day hunt, right? You leave for lunch, you come back, and there's geese in your spread.
Yeah, they didn't need any calling.
There was zero calling. Decoys did exactly what they were doing, you know?
Right.
And to the point that that goose actually got comfortable within those mannequin geese. So.
And there's only been one occasion where I did not run Dave Smith Giants this year. And I can just tell you, like, people always are asking about those Dave Smiths. Do they really help? Yes. Except when the birds can see you. You know, like, without a proper hide, it really doesn't matter. That they're going to see the decoys, and if they see your half-shit-dick-covered snow cover, they're still flaring. 99 sure. out of 100, sure. You know what I mean? Like, so this whole, like, just the hot... You know what I need to do? I need to get that fucking white box out.
So if you're, it's worth a shot. So you're saying, so it's kind of similar. So you have you have the perfect wig on, you put makeup on, you look just like a chick, but you're naked from the waist down. People are still going to know you're a dude. So, you know, if you're.
How did you know what I do on the weekend?
I pay for the premium Snapchat.
Oh, shit.
But, yeah, so it's the same thing. You can have the best decoys in the world, but if the geese are like, that's a hunter right there. That's,
dude,
doesn't really
back
matter.
Back in the day, I'm going to get on my old man horse here. But,
oh, here we go. When you used to be able to use half tires for decoys?
Dude, when snow covers first came out for those layout blinds, that was fucked up. Like, we used to have, like, basically like a party when it snowed. Like, oh my god, the geese are going to get massacred. And they did, dude. Like, you could just slap on a snow cover still covered with blood, because of course you'd make your pile picks on top of the snow covers, right?
Oh yeah,
because that's not retarded. And
makes for good photos.
We have these dirty and then of course, like, you hunt them, like, you hunt those snow covers in, like, fields that kind of have a little dirt showing through, so you're grinding dirt into your snow cover, and then you're piling pile picks on top of them. And the next year would come around, you take that nasty, terrible looking snow cover, put it on your blind, throw it out in a field, and you would fuck them up, man. Dude, snow covers were just the shit. Like, you would easily shoot your limit in any field with those snow covers. Barely see any flares off them. Nowadays, man, have they learned what those things are. It is tough going in snow cover layouts.
It's got to still be better than no snow covers, you would think.
Yeah, I mean, it's just not... It used to be the snow hit the ground and it's like, we are in the best goose hunting situation ever. Now the snow hits the ground and it's like, okay, it's better, but it's still, you know, we went from dealing with very, very, very stale birds to dealing with very stale birds. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you still got to be, you got to just be more on your game these days than back in the old days when the snow would hit.
When did the first layout blind come out?
Dude, like 98 or 97, probably.
How much did that change the game? Like, being able to set up in the middle of a field.
Oh, it changed the game for sure. It was like Final Approach Eliminators came out. They were expensive, too. Super expensive. That was like Ron Latshaw out in, I think it was Washington. Ron Latshaw started Final Approach. The first, like, layout blind was the Final Approach Eliminator. And that thing was, it's an awesome blind to this day. It's absolutely humongous. But if I will remember right, I think at first they did not come with stubble straps on them. They were just made out of mossy oak shadow grass, you know, like you just put up this mossy oak shadow grass coffin blind. And why would you need to stubble it? It's made out of fucking camouflage.
Yeah, right. It's camouflage. what
came
but
even
first,
before
the,
that, like
the coffin blind
back,
or the goose chair?
The goose chair, I believe, came out before that. But another thing that came out even before the layouts were hay bale blinds. And there are some really nice hay bale blinds on the market.
You think those would... I'm a little surprised those don't work. Maybe they do work. I'm surprised they're not more popular.
Like, I am too, because it, to me, it's a it's a better looking A-frame. Like an A-frame that looks like it actually should be in the middle of a field.
And you don't have to brush it in. It's beautiful.
Well, you can actually get some ones that you, or you could get some ones where you could like stuff them with straw.
And put an actual
hay and they'd be like, it'd be like a two person A-frame, basically.
Right.
It worked great. So like when A-frames became more popular, I was like, you'd probably see, you know, it's probably a good idea to those hay bale blinds would come back. Nope. No hay bale blinds coming back. I was just in Max Prairie Wings down in Stuttgart. They've got a whole like wing of the store now dedicated to A-frame blinds.
Wow.
Everybody's little version of it that they've got now, from Green Ed Gear to Redneck blinds to, you know, Higdon. Does Higdon have one? No, I don't know. Dakota
Free.
Decoys has one. Tangle Free has their panels. Everybody's got A-frames now.
Avian. Yeah, I mean, they're pretty popular. I mean, I like them for snow goose hunting, you know, when you got a nice edge.
So
I like them.
Fuck, man. That's my my old man rant. Let's end the podcast.
Although I did set mine up this last spring in the middle, and it still worked pretty good. So I don't know. I like them. But I spent, like, literally almost an entire day brushing that thing in. It looked so dope when I was done.
Nice.
And then clients get in there, and they ruin it because they can't see, so they start breaking off things in front of their face. You're like, hey, you know that's there for a specific reason, right?
Oh, I know that. I know that. I know that feeling up in Canada.
It's like, what are you doing? I know you want to see, but they can see you too. That's the two-way street here.
I like when you camo them in so good that everybody has to file in from one end, right?
Yes.
Because the other end blends in with some of the terrain, right? So you can only have guys come in, and then you get all in there, and your hunt's about to start, and the guy in the very end, I gotta pee.
Here's a bottle, buddy. Bring a wide mouth. You don't need it. Yeah, anyway. So all right, well, that was fun. So next year, you gonna try Worlds again?
Fuck yeah, I am, man.
Yeah, just chasing that dream. You just gotta get those three good routines. That's it.
Man, it's just a very, very fun, rewarding, challenging, crazy thing that I'm into with a whole bunch of other crazy people that are super cool. And I get to go to that cool place.
There. Can I be your entourage? Maybe I got to follow you down there some year. Maybe you just need a supporting crew. Maybe cheerleader.
Nice.
I can wear a skirt if I need to. I mean, pom-poms, whatever. Anything for
nice.
The cause.
All right, buddy. Well, I will. I'll chat with you next week for episode 100.
100 next
Let's
week.
Let's get drunk.
Let's do it.
Oh fuck!
All right, dude.
All right.
Later.
Later.
Bye.